Hey, Garrett.
Yes, Boca?
Will you excuse me? I cut my foot before, and my shoe's filling up with blood.
Yeah, dude, of course.
Well, you know, thank you for your courtesy. Hi, I'm Boca.
And I'm considerate of others.
And welcome to the Bromance Podcast. It's two dudes watching romantic comedies because love is dead, movies are real, and my high school reunion is next year. Garrett, what movie are we talking about today?
Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, otherwise known as Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure for Women.
Why did you pick this film? You called an audible late.
It bangs. Now, I will say, it's in the borderline of, like, is it a rom-com or is it a chick flick? It leans pretty hard to chick flick, but, like, there is rom in it. They try to find dudes, technically, and they do succeed in doing that at some point. So, rom-com. But it is with Lisa Kudrow, the absolute height of her powers. And then the other chick has a deep voice and is really hot, but I don't remember who that is.
Is that her real voice?
That's her real voice.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
I was planning to look up like interviews or something after I watched, but I didn't have time. And I was like,
she's doing a Valley Girl, but it is that deep.
Why are you doing a Valley Girl when you came up in Tucson, Arizona?
Just because it's funny.
Okay. You've allegedly seen this movie several times.
Yes.
Who's Romy and who's Michelle?
Oh, man. You really like to hit me with the hard-hitting facts. Lisa Kudrow is Michelle. Like, wasn't it like Weinberg? Weinstein?
Oh, I don't know the last name.
Oh, okay. I was trying to flex by knowing both names. And then the other one's Romy White?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But definitely Romy. Right. Is Romy short for something?
No. Also, Romy White sounds like a porn star.
I mean, anything's a porn star name if you just, you know, apply yourself in the scene, right? Like, it doesn't have to be an absurd name. Why is it always got to be a dumb name?
Buck is just trying to justify the fact that his porn name is just his legal government name.
You know when rappers, like, use their real names? Like, oh, shit, this person's going to have real bars. Like, Kendrick yeah. Lamar, David Banner, Yasin Bey, now that he doesn't go by Mos Def anymore, you know? It's like, uh-oh, lyrical, spherical, open your third eye, consciousness, get to it. Exactly. So if porn star use their real name, that's a
is Meek Mill's real name Meek Mill?
No.
I don't know.
Mind you, I don't know that for a fact, but I'll bet money right now that that's not his real name.
Because I was going down the list of names, and I was like, Meek Mill sounds like it could be a name.
Robert Rameek Williams.
Okay, well, it's part of a name, but it's not.
Well, duh. Everyone does that.
Yeah, or not. I mean, Childish Gambino. That's not part of.
He put it into Donald a Wu-Tang Clan name generator.
I know.
Yeah, we all know. All right. Wait, you're an old person, and you're past 30.
That hurts. So, that hurts. This hurts.
Yeah. And you know I don't actually think you're old, right?
I know.
Okay, good.
I'm so sorry.
But, yeah, you're fit. But yeah. You had your 10-year reunion, didn't you?
So, yours is coming up. Mine was during COVID. So, I didn't get a fucking 10-year reunion. I didn't get to X on the people that wronged me or my enemies. And now I don't know what I do. I'm what we're supposed to do. What were they going to do? Play like, what was even good popping off in like high school musically? Like, they were going to play like Late Registration while we all flip Kesha. Each other off on Zoom. Oh, God. I like that I went with Kanye and you went with Kesha, but that is true.
No, because Late Registration would have been too early because you graduated high school in 2011 ish.
10.
Yeah. So Kesha. Fuck. Yeah.
Right. Ugh. I did not wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy, I'll tell you that much. So this movie kicks off with the single most impressive shot in the entire movie. I know it's a weird thing to open with a movie, like this being the praise, but it's like now it would be a drone shot. But back then they have like a helicopter shot panning Venice Beach, going to their apartment window, then through the curtain, then into their apartment, then to them watching Pretty Woman all seamlessly in one shot. Now, it isn't actually one shot. I think they cut when it goes to the curtain, but that should bang.
Yeah. That shot banging is kind of undercut by how tacky all their fashion is.
Oh, that's the whole point, though. It's awesome. They make their own clothes, and they're idiots.
Yeah, but it's still tacky. It makes sense in universe for it to be tacky. Yeah, that doesn't mean 100%. I'm visually enjoying looking at how awful everything they wear is. I mean, the best thing we're seeing so far is Pretty Woman. Yeah, because Pretty Woman was a good rom-com.
Whoa.
Stop. Wait, you didn't like Pretty Woman?
I was. I'm just saying, I know this is going to be pivoting into Romy and Michelle slander, and I will not stand for it.
Well, we got two pieces here against it, right? First, A, it's barely a rom-com, not really a rom-com. More
it's a com-rom, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I'm not going to act like I've never made that mistake, you know, of picking a movie. That. Yeah. But the High thing School is, Musical. Oh, High School Musical is explicitly a rom-com.
No, it's not.
Why not?
It sucks.
No, a rom-com
is going to be bad. I didn't come prepared with a legal defense. It just is like, it's just not. It's but, just,
but it's about two people falling in love, Troy and Gabriella, and it's not funny, but there's jokes. It's like Disney Channel level jokes. Yeah,
fine. So it's a rom-com. Yeah, so anyway, so Romy and Michelle are laying in bed watching Pretty Woman.
Two separate beds. They only push them together when we're not watching.
Yep, like a 1950s comedy where they had to have both of the married couple sleeping in two separate rooms.
I love beds. Lucy.
Yeah. So they're watching Pretty Woman, and Romy is shitting on the fact that it's, like, so sappy, and that also, like, the women that work at the store are basically as big a whore as Julia Roberts is supposed to be, and, like, mm-hmm. who are they really to judge, because you, like, you know. And then Michelle's, like, very into the movie and, like, actually legitimately crying. And this was the time when I started Googling, how old were these women in this movie? Because they're supposed to be, like, 28. Mm-hmm. Lisa Kudrow is, like, 34 and, like, looking great. Well, what'd you make a sound effect?
No, as in the gap. Why don't you get – they never want to get the people the right – I mean, that's the point. You can't only act as who you are.
Yeah.
28 to 34 is not the worst we've ever seen. It's not Grease. Yeah. Grease is bad. Egregious. Yeah, but it's like, come on.
So she's 34, and I think the other one's, like, 27, 28. So, like, that one was actually, like, the right age.
Oh, Mira Sorvino was? Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, looking her up, I saw the word Oscar for there somewhere. I was like, what did you win an Oscar for?
Whoa. She acted her balls off in this movie. It was Best Picture. We all know that.
No, but weren't you actually wondering what she got an Oscar for? Because she does have one.
Fine, tell me.
She got Best Supporting Actress in 1995 in a Woody Allen film called Mighty Aphrodite. Which I've never seen, but I'll look that up later. But yeah, they live there, and that first bit with Pretty Woman kind of gets into their whole. These women, when on surface level, they're so identical, but the difference is Michelle is happy and enjoying shit, and Romy wants more.
Yes, and also Michelle is an absolute moron. They're both idiots, but like Michelle is like
dumber,
paint by numbers level stupidity.
Dumb and dumber. You know, kudos to this film. This does get credit. I think we mentioned it this season, how like you would watch sitcoms. Like, why does every sitcom dad have to be Homer Simpson, Peter Griffin, Doug from King Queens, etc.? Just oaf. So, like I said, this is Dumb and Dumber or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, but with two women. So at least it's a nice role reversal. But
yeah, right. They get to be idiots this time. So Romy, they go out and get dressed up to go to some club to just establish like that's what they do. And Romy like apparently has a diet that she only eats gummy bears because that's how she loses weight, which it just seems like a recipe for success.
Or diabetes.
Well, that's probably the beatus. and then also every dude in this movie is wearing a suit that's 17 sizes too large.
It was 1997.
I know, it's just hysterical. It's like if you go back and look at the 90s NBA draft, it looks like everyone borrowed their dad's suit and they're all 7 feet tall and their dads had to have been 8 feet tall. And that's every dude in this fucking movie and it's psychotic. When did when did we as a society go, clothes should start fitting? Because I feel like that was like 2008.
Well, no, because eventually there was that period where shit was too skinny.
Yeah, that was weird. We overcorrected.
Yeah, and now it's a pendulum and now shit's swinging loose again, which if nothing else, between... fashion is too tight and fashion is too loose. At least when fashion is too loose, everyone's a little bit more comfortable. So, sure,
but I feel like now we're doing both. It's like wear joggers and then a big ass hoodie.
Oh yeah, you go tight on top, loose on bottom, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
while working,
Romy worked at a DMV or not a DMV, but a Jaguar dealership and like the sales or in the maintenance department with some like Latino dude that's trying to hump her leg pretty much 24 hours a day. I will say though, all of her clothing is made of latex, which is just, she makes this one dress that literally has the Star Trek logo on it that I want to point out before I forget.
Yeah.
Which I thought was sick. I'm not sure if she knew what that was, but it.
Are you a Star Trek fan?
Nah, but I just didn't see that for her. Star Wars over Star Trek all day.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so she works at the Jaguar dealership and while she's there, she encounters a former classmate, played by, I never know how to pronounce this woman's name, but I like her a lot. Janine Garofalo.
Oh my God, Janine Garofalo in this movie is the hottest woman on planet Earth.
You are
love her. I love her more than anything. I honestly, all the women in this movie are dope that are like the lead characters, but like 15 out of 10, smoke Marlboros, tell me to go fuck myself, be like, you know, small brunette that puts me in my place.
I've never seen you with anybody with any degree of darkness, melancholy, or edge.
Right? How would I ever be attracted to this? Yeah. I'm not sure if that was sarcasm.
Oh, on my part? Mm-hmm. I truly have never seen you with somebody with any melancholy, darkness, or edge.
Oh, yeah, I guess that is kind of true.
So Janine Garofalo
is the hottest woman on planet Earth.
Okay. And
she's small. She puts people in her place. She chain smokes. She invented a type of cigarette that burns twice as fast with double the flavor for the busy woman on the go.
See, I don't smoke. I both don't smoke cigarettes. And when I consume marijuana products, it's not via joint, blunt, or spliff, what have you. So it's like, is that something you would want to burn twice as fast? If you get the same amount, maybe. I also
don't. But yeah, if you get the same amount of nicotine, you can get on with your life. Because at a certain point, I don't think cigarettes do anything for the person smoking other than cure their addiction to smoke, like get the scratch to go away to have a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get that whole process done in like 30 seconds, that would be kind of super fucking convenient.
Yeah. If you smoke, write in, tweet at us at Podcast Bromance. Do you want your cigarettes to smoke to burn more quickly or more slowly? But that seeing Janine Garofalo's character. Oh, do you know her character's name?
Fuck.
Claim to love her.
Oh, and she has that name. Oh God. Oh, wait, no, it's like a sweet name.
It's a name.
It's like, no, she's like, I'm a human being in this.
Yes.
Aliens
describing Earth film, like, oh, yeah, that's a human being.
Yeah, she's like, she looks like a little maid woman.
Whoa.
Fat Heather.
I don't like how you got there. You're cross to bear. You are correct.
Facts. Doesn't matter what the process is, as long as you get results.
One day you'll listen. You're going to have a Seinfeld series finale one day where people play you. Mind you, I'm here with you too, I suppose, with my
I was going to say, remember the time that you've had a couple dictatorish moments.
Dictatorish?
Mm-hmm.
I can see that, actually.
Yeah, but people were going to be put in camps. I forgot what you were putting people in camps over, but you were.
See, we need to go back and figure out why to know how bad I feel. Like, if I'm saying, yeah, all war criminals should be put in a camp, oh, that's fine. Yeah. If I'm saying basically anything else, yikes. Seeing Heather Mooney reminds Romy about high school, and they start in the 10-year reunion's coming up, and now we do the long ass flashback to 1987.
Yes, and 1987, particularly when everyone's in their 30s playing high school students, looked aged. But I just made me remember, like, they used to do that shit all the time in like every 90s TV show and like everything before that. So you'd have always teachers were like 80 years old, but the only reason I think they cast them that old is because all the students were being played by people in their 30s and 40s. Mm-hmm. So it was like everyone had to be aged up 40 years. But yeah, I mean, they're like, whatever, they're middle of the road. Like, they're trying to see where they fit in. It's like you had like the type A people that were like super popular and like jocks and shit that like ruined everyone's lives. Then you had like theater and drama kids that were just popular because like they were on stage all the time, which, again, weird flex, but okay. Then you had like the C group that was like just nerds that were super like hardworking. And then you had like random outcast loner, what the fucks, which was like Heather, Romy, and Michelle. So like Michelle has a back brace. Romy's supposed to be fat, but the only way that they really demonstrate that is they just have her wear like a sport coat all the time and like a sweater.
I didn't see it at all.
No, she's just like not wearing skin tight latex, which like as a viewer let down, but like it didn't project fat.
Yeah, I gotta say again, it is weird. It's not weird. People get slipped on in high school, I suppose. Oh, yeah. But it's like, even as an adult, how they seem to... We'll get into it more in the next scenes. It's like Romy, Mira Savino, was fine. She was very attractive. She was lovely, gorgeous, whatever. Her voice in this film.
Not in high school, though.
Her high school version was just darker
her
hair
and ass. She dressed frumpy as fuck. Like, they were like weird asses.
Yeah. Yeah. Fine. But even that adult her seems to not be having much luck romantically. And I'm like, why?
Yeah, that's kind of... Well, this is one of those, like, not realistic movies in that way, where it's like you'll have like Which they do this with dudes too. It'll be like, Ryan Reynolds is a successful attorney with millions of dollars living in New York, but can't find love. It's like, I have a feeling he's probably banging six girls a night in reality. And it's like, two hot blondes in Los Angeles that live in Venice Beach can't get laid. It's like, well, do they also have the closet to Narnia? Like, where are we finding these mythical creatures? Because they ain't fucking real.
Exactly. But them having a hard time in high school, especially when your best friend has a back brace. Yeah, it's believable. And the bullies, the A team girls, or A group, not A team, they love to humiliate Romy and Michelle. And I had to fast forward through 80% of this, so you need to fill the people in.
Oh, yeah. They, like, come over and, like, she's such a fucking bitch. So she, like, comes over to her and is like, yeah, the bully, is like, you guys should audition for the big, Oklahoma. And then fucking Lisa Kudrow just starts singing Oklahoma. And I was like, I'm going to kill myself. That was one of the moments. I was like, oh, Jesus. And then she like takes out a bag of magnets. Cause I'm like, yeah, of course you have to, you keep that thing on you. If you're a bully, you always have to have prop comedy, like your fucking Carrot Top. So she brings out a bunch of like different like banana and like fruit magnets and puts them on her back brace, like tapping her on the back. Like, yeah, like good girl. Like you should go do this shit. You should do that. And then it's like, goes to Romy. Is like, hey, like, you know, can I have can I have the rest of your burger, which is like uneaten, like it's not the rest of, she just legit takes burger. This woman's burger, bites into it, and then fucking bounces. And Lisa Kudrow is like, she could be really nice when she wants to, and it's just like, oh, you sweet hamster,
you rube. And here's the thing about the magnets that shows that A group girls fuck with Romy and Michelle so much that they know, like, oh, we know that Michelle has a back brace. We are going to keep magnets on deck. Because what other magnet-based
shenanigans do you have?
Yeah, fucking Magneto's in the other homeroom. And so it's like, oh, we know we're going to fuck with her with this. So Michelle, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me enough times that I bought several magnets, I'm a fucking idiot. Yes. Whatever, it's a movie. But like, stand up, protect yourself. Fuck.
I know.
And it gets worse because we go to prom.
Yeah, but we also established one other thing that's super great, which is Heather's fucking addiction to cigarettes, because she can't finish a cigarette in between class, and she never has a fucking lighter, and there's always this one kid who, like, by the way, they try to make everyone else look like a high school student. This kid legit is just dressed all in black, is clearly in his mid to late 30s, has a black cowboy hat on, is just always smoking cigarettes, and then flicks the end of his cigarette at her, so she uses that to light her own cigarette, will not say one word to the guy, and all she does is like tee off on him verbally and tells him to go fuck himself every single time. And it has a payoff at the end of the movie, but it just made me like, I don't know, I love that woman. I don't know what it is. I'm in love.
The guy who's doing the cowboy shit, he doesn't have, his character doesn't have a name, just labeled cowboy. He's played by Justin fucking Thoreau.
Who is that?
He's great. If you, I know him for The Leftovers. That's what I care about
him. Oh, fuck. That's the guy from The Leftovers.
Did you watch The Leftovers? You watched, like,
I watched the first two seasons and it fucked me up, and I didn't watch the third one because it was too heavy.
Season two was so good.
It fucked me up because it was so good.
Yeah. Fucking Regina King is signing to her daughter on the bridge.
I know. I can rewatch the whole series and then finish it. But anyway.
That would have been a good pandemic watch.
I know. Oh, or a bad pandemic watch. I just dress all in white and start smoking. Anyway, speaking of smoking.
Yeah. No need to rush through our lovely banter, you know. Facts. Enjoy yourself, you know. What important deeds do you have to rush off to that you can't hang with your pal Boca, Garrett?
Well, I'm going to dress in 80s wear and then black out at the Beer Olympics after this, but besides that.
It's funnier if I ask no follow-up questions, so we just keep going.
Facts.
Fine. So prom.
Prom. So they're both dressed in these, like, punk rock girl outfits that they made themselves. Oh,
it's Madonna.
Oh yeah, you're right, they were doing Madonna. I hate Madonna. She's such an overrated piece of shit.
Whoa,
she sucks dick. She sucks
like a virgin.
She sucks. Yeah, sucks. It all sucks.
The song
Like a Virgin sucks. I don't like her music.
Is Like a Prayer and Like a Virgin two separate songs?
Probably. I don't know. They all, it all, throw it all out. Throw her out, throw her fake British accent out. Throw her out.
Okay, both are songs. Anyway, you're kind of wrong. She's full of shit, but like, she's made some good songs. Whatever, fine.
I would say the J.G. Wentworth jingle is both more memorable and better written than anything Madonna has produced.
You are so all over the fucking place, Garrett, because you like this movie because it's camp. It's an audio experience. I'm air quoting. Camp is just a nice way of saying something's bad. Yet, Madonna...
But it's in on it. It knows.
Oh, you feel Madonna's not in on it.
No. Madonna's the girl in high school that's like the artsy chick that's like super into her music but sucks ass at music, and she isn't doing it ironically, and then everyone has to like watch her smell her own farts at the talent show. That's Madonna, but she's 60.
But Madonna has some songs that don't suck. I'm still here. I'm still there.
Well, you can be the world's biggest Madonna fan, but like
I'm definitely not. But I'm like somebody saying, "Hey, Madonna has some good songs," is not a controversial statement.
It just isn't true to me, you know? It's like Nickelback did well financially, right? But like,
popularity doesn't mean good. Yeah.
Thank you for proving my thesis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Madonna sucks dick.
Literally,
metaphorically, musically, and everywhere. Yes.
Okay, well, remind me to do a poll about Madonna later.
Thank God.
Yeah, but they're at prom. They're both dressed like Madonna, and they came with each other. Mm-hmm. And so I think, was it Romy who's like, oh, that's football Billy. I don't know, his name was Billy.
Yeah, his name was Billy.
He's like, oh, you think Billy if...
Waters or something?
Whatever, Billy Butcher is funner. So,
there it is.
Hey, I'm gonna go ask Billy Butcher to dance because it's prom. He's like, fuck it, it's the last day of high school. He's not gonna say no, right?
Which is
like,
so funny because they show the power rankings of high school hierarchy so fucking well in this. Because she's like, I'm gonna go ask Billy. And Michelle's like, no one will say no. It's the last day of prom. Like, you'd be a fucking monster. We're never gonna see each other again. Of course I'll say yes. And then the like nerd dude that like is fucking in love with Michelle comes up and is like, hey, you wanna dance? She's like, no, fuck no.
Yeah.
And then just leaves. And then the smoking chick has a huge fat crush on the nerd, goes up to the nerd guy and is like, I'm in love with you. Like, or not, I'm in love with you, but do you want to dance? He's like, no, I don't want to dance with you because there's really no point unless you love the person.
Woo!
And then the chick who's like runs the yearbook or something and is like the quote unquote dork of the whole thing is like, hey, do you guys want some drinks? And then we can play who can name all the state capitals. And she's like, hey, do you want to go fuck yourself? Like, I love this woman. Oh God, I love this woman.
it's, I've said this before. The fact that anybody ever finds anybody is a miracle, right? Because at the very top of it, we have Mean Girl Number One, whose name I don't remember.
Bitch face.
Yeah, so her. And so she's what Billy likes her, and they're together. There's one couple at this at the top.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Romy's into Billy, but he doesn't know or care. He doesn't like her. Yeah. And then, do you have a name for the nerd?
Oh, shit.
Because he's not nobody. He's in this movie.
Something like Finkel or something.
He has a name. He has a scientist name.
But it says F, right? It has an F in it.
There's an F in his name, yes.
Okay, but it's not the first name because you're saying it like that. So we're going to go with... Cheeks. Fucking Clapping Cheeks. No, not Clapping Cheeks. Sandy Cheeks. Sandy Finkel. Sandy... that's like a dude's name. Sandy Frank? Is it Sandy Frank?
You have it written down.
I don't have it written down.
I mean, okay, that's impressive because you got it through. The Mind Palace is back.
The Mind Palace is only back because while I'm watching the movie, I'm now recording the names in the Mind Palace.
Okay, well, you know you're going to be testing.
The Mind Palace was gone the first 2 days, the first two episodes.
Yes. Yeah, so Sandy Frank is his name, right? So again, we've got Bitchface at the top. Bitchface is with Billy. Romy likes Billy. Sandy likes Romy. And then Heather likes Sandy. And then that last girl, I don't even know if she likes Heather or just wants to be friends with Heather, but whatever.
Wants to have a friend. She wants to have anyone be her friend.
Oh, goddamn. Right? It's all one directional. The odds of it, odds of two lines facing each other, it's rare. So
yeah. Also, shout out Billy for not being on steroids. This is where I'm gonna get on my soapbox.
I know.
Everyone, Garrett, take a drink, grab a cigarette. Garrett it's gonna be a minute.
Men's bodies.
Let me talk about men's bodies.
Yeah.
You know, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, the jock dude was just honestly skinny. He was just not overweight and had a little bit of definition and was like, hey, I'm going to get, it was like a normal person. If they just said, hey, I'm going to get in shape. And 90 days later, they'd probably look like this guy. Now you'd be juiced to the fucking tits, and your arms would be the size of fucking quads, and that would be for like your casual average shirtless scene. Like, look at Ryan Reynolds just taking his shirt off in any rom-com that he is in. Dude is jacked to the fucking tits at like 45. Unrealistic, man.
You're advocating for more realistic beauty standards for men.
Yeah, let's bring it back. Let's let dudes be dudes again and not have to be on roids, you know? Same with ladies. You don't have to get BBLs. I'm an equal opportunity fuck the man, you know? Just let the man be a normal man. Let's let the jock look like a human that plays sports and not like he was built in a laboratory by the T3000 or whatever.
This is a good point. I agree with you. I got mixed up when we're talking about the man as in power versus like men in film versus men existing for a bit. But overall, you get a thumbs up from me.
There we go.
Yeah. So kudos. Good work.
Thanks, man. I didn't really try on that one.
That's worrying. So fine. We flash. Romy asks Billy to dance. Billy says, all right, I'll be right back, and never comes back. So she's just left there at prom, and then time after time's playing. And so Romy and Michelle just sway together. If this movie came out today, they would be in love. But they weren't allowed to. Because
well, they even talk about it. They're like, hey, do you think we're lesbians? Or wouldn't it be more convenient if we were? And then Michelle literally, without a pause, like, should we have sex tonight just to see if we're lesbians? Because like, she would have done it.
Yeah.
And then Romy's like, no, I'd actually vomit just thinking about having sex with a woman, but talk to me if I'm not married at 30.
Which is 2 years from now for them also. So zero to married in 2 years is
that's the society kind of went different with it. Cause I feel like back then it was like, if you weren't married by 30, you have to kill yourself.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now you see someone that's like 24 that's getting married, and everyone's like, oh boy, that divorce is going to be ugly at 32.
Not that they're going to get divorced. I wish nothing but happiness for this couple that I don't know. But it's like, I was at somebody's birthday dinner. They're 1 year younger than me. So their friends are right around that, somewhere between like 25, 29. And it's like, I see them. They're clearly together. I'm like, oh, how long are you two being together? And he's like, oh, we're actually married. And everyone was like, damn. Everybody. Right? Not just me. It was like, shit. But that's because they just moved from Atlanta. So they moved from, rather, let me just say, they moved from Georgia. So it's different, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a year on Mars is more time here, or vice versa. You get
In California, it's like 40 is 30. Like, if you're not married by 40, it's like, should probably, you know.
I would like folks to clear out by 40, but let me extend some grace, because, you know, today you, tomorrow me.
Also, single women in their 40s, they got something sometimes. Yeah.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
I will sip my Michelob Ultra in peace.
Yeah. With that, we're going to go to our commercial break, sponsored by Michelob Ultra. Fewer calories, less taste. We'll be back soon. And we're back. Romy and Michelle have finished their high school memory lane trip of sadness and realized they need to come correct for this 10-year reunion. How much would you have lied at your 10-year reunion, Garrett?
When you make your dreams come true, Boca, you don't have to lie because you're built different. Every morning I wake up at 4 a.m. Then I run a triathlon.
I'm cutting you off because I'm annoyed. Than God. Fuck. Yeah, but you weren't going to. You're not a sociopath. And in general, we can't lie anymore. Social media folks know what we've been up to.
So the 90s were lit. If you wanted to just be more successful or start over or leave your family.
I was going to say leave your family.
You can leave your family. It's 1993. You come home from a long day at work and Deborah won't shut the fuck up. Move to a new town, not even a town that far away, and just start calling yourself Dale. And you're a new guy.
Exactly. And you know, we don't have that option anymore because I tweet too much. I'm in the process of getting a temporary suspension on Twitter, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Wait, why are you getting a temporary suspension on Twitter? What'd you do? Is it the alt-right shit again? Halle Berry is not gonna tweet you back.
It was the other way. Like this guy who I assume is normally not this annoying, but it was like this photo of Judge Kentaji running for the Supreme Court. I don't actually know her full name because I've been not paying attention, but
getting all the head ass questions.
Judge Jackson and her white ass husband reaching over and holding her hand, whatever, fine. And this asshole for this fucking caption, he wrote like, just for a minute I imagine Kentucky's husband Patrick financing an insurrection led by black revolutionaries, and I'm absolutely cackling. And I'm like, what the fuck, you centrist dipshit? So all I tweeted was like, please shut the fuck up.
Hey, but like Twitter, please.
Yeah, I put please on it. But Twitter sent me like, are you sure? Notice about this? I was like, oh boy. So we'll see. If I lose my Twitter account, we're fucked.
Damn. The Earth will stop spinning on its axis and we'll be thrown 2,000 miles an hour through whatever's in front of us.
Spoken like somebody that doesn't try. So, Romy and Michelle are like, we're going to try to get more. First, they say, let's get more impressive lives in 2 weeks.
Yeah, because they fill out the form. Like, what have you been up to? It's like, I'm unemployed. You work at a Jaguar dealership. We don't have dudes. We aren't married. We don't have, like, careers we're proud of. We still live together. Fuck.
Mm-hmm. Let's become cool in 2 years. I'll get a job, and you get us two boyfriends, right?
Yes. And which, again, the fact that, like, Romy can't get two dudes, like... So, like, the guy kind of sucks, so she feeds him the whole, like, my shoe is filling up with bloodline. But, like, outside of that, it's like she can't pull a guy. I'm like, I'm sorry. There is no fucking way in hell this is true. They have an entire, like, running joke, but, like, biking joke where they're, like, at a fitness class because they're also trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And the teacher has them, like, riding up and down on this bike while they're both wearing these, like, latex skimpy clothes that they just got made for themselves. And, like, reference, like, what does this remind you of? And she's like, oh, yeah, no, 100%. And it's just, like, how is no one in this class shooting a shot, you know?
Well, not just shooting a shot, but, like, in general, it's, like, it makes no sense. Quite frankly, this is, just because she's dumb and she has a personality. Just because the character of Romy is not very intelligent does not mean she would not be able to find somebody that's willing to a straight man to talk to her for consecutive dates, you know? So it's like,
I've known many of my friends that have dated women that they have nothing in common with or cannot string four words together for long periods of time based off of boobies.
You know, sexual attraction gives us nothing, I guess, but future generations, but really such a hamper to every other aspect of your being, isn't it?
Jesus Christ, Boca.
I told you I was in a bad mood today.
He's like, I will never make the quest to the crimson tip peaks of Mount Mamre.
Oh, no, not even that. But just like, no, you ever think about it? Like, how often is like, oh, we got the British spy to tell us where the nukes were because we put a hot woman in front of him. So, like, you know, to not be impacted in that way, net is a gain to your life. Or is it going to be the type of thing where, like, without sexual attraction, like, color fades from the world like I'm in The Giver?
That's a whole lot of words. That is a whole lot of words. You see, I live by a different mantra. It's called fuck bitches, get money.
Oh.
And I just think it's easier. So,
Garrett was in Junior Mafia. Fuck bitches, get money. I was like,
100%. I think that was a Gandhi quote. So, they move forward with trying to revolutionize their lives just to realize that it's not going to go anywhere. Michelle tries to work at Versace, then tries to work at, I think, Barney's, and then is like, gets it, the funniest fucking scene in this movie. She like gets it off like a Nordstrom Rack job essentially, but it's not even that. It's like the Nordstrom Rack of Nordstrom Rack of Nordstrom Rack.
Can you think of a discount clothing store brand?
Nordstrom Rack.
Anyway.
Ross.
Yes. Ross is more on pace.
TJ Maxx, Marshall.
Okay. I was like, damn, do you not have one? Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Like, it's worse than a Burlington Coat Factory. It was like thrift before thrift stores were organized. Yeah.
Yeah, before Macklemore, really, you know, the revolutionary. Yeah.
For better and for worse for thrift shops, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was my point here? Okay, so they just fail and give up. And then, like, Michelle's so fucking stupid. She's reading Vogue and the women are in business attire. And she's like, it's just so crazy that all the top female CEOs are so pretty. Romy's like, those are just women dressed up in the clothes.
Exactly. And she's
like, oh, it's weird because when they hold bags and they have their clothes on, they look like CEOs. And then Romy's like, puts two and two together and it's like, we could just fucking lie. Yeah. We don't have to be successful.
Yeah.
And if that is the takeaway, they're on to something.
And then they invented LinkedIn.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that every post on I want to tell everyone on LinkedIn to go fuck themselves systematically because it's always like
I was on LinkedIn.
Such a meaningful day of collaborating with my amazing colleagues, and then it's just like you slow stroking yourself about your achievements, but like through the guise of a humanitarian love for others. And it's like, look, just finish, clean your chest off, and keep it moving. Like, we don't all have to watch this.
Holy fuck. God, you know, damn.
Like, it's LinkedIn is the official platform of publicly masturbating to your own career.
But it is crazy how keeping your LinkedIn warm is so beneficial for getting something. Like, I had a post, I tried to keep it as non-douchey as possible, somehow it picked up, and it got like 20, I got 20 fucking thousand. I wish I had as much clout on LinkedIn as I had elsewhere. And
you
I got
like 20,000 likes?
20,000 views.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, yeah, not that crazy, but so like 20,000 views and three recruiters hit me up for a job that wouldn't suck. So I was like, shit. Whenever everyone listen, if you want a new role wherever the hell you are, post on LinkedIn at least once every 2 weeks and try to make it
or
as non-douchy
as possible.
Or follow my advice
and just do it privately.
You have to remember, things that Garrett wants just come to him. But for everyone else who's trying to get a job, you put yourself out there and post roughly every 2 weeks on LinkedIn or less.
Facts.
Yes. Facts. So they decided to lie. Couldn't save themselves time. They didn't get their hands on the car, which again, couldn't you just get to Tucson, Arizona for the reunion, rent a nice car that day versus them to do all this to get the expensive?
Yeah, I'm sure he works at the dealership, so it's also, it gives us a funnier scene.
How long is the drive from Tucson to like LA?
Oh god, that shit, I don't know. Eight hours, I don't know.
Ooh, fuck that. Yeah, I'm not driving 8 hours. So fine, yeah. They make it. Oh, and on the way there though, they start arguing about like, oh, what's the fame? What's the thing we're going
to
say?
Hang on now. We're brushing over one other thing we have to cover, which is to get the car. She has this good dude that works in the service thing named Ramon. Mm-hmm. And Ramon wants to fuck the shit out of her. And she's like, I heard you have this like Jaguar XJS that you're like restoring. And I would love to like, be, you know, borrow it for this reunion. He's like, you know what I want? And she's like, I'm not going to fuck you for a car. But what she does do is close all the blinds and then make sounds as if they're having sex so that all the guys in the service garage think that they're having sex. But the shit that they say is so fucking hysterical. It's like, am I seeing God? No, it's Ramon. Stab me with your beautiful love rod. Love
oh, Jesus.
And then at the very end, she's like, oh, and I came. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Okay. Handshake. I now get to borrow the car, which doesn't run too well, but it does get them there. Fine.
It's pretty.
Yeah, and so they're just gonna laugh about the sex scene, but now we're in the Jaguar. Now we're halfway to Tucson and Post-its, and they start fighting.
Yeah, they're gonna lie and say that they invented Post-its because who the fuck knows who invented Post-its? Because Google didn't exist.
True.
And again, you could just make shit up. Like I could be the CFO of IBM up until 2004. And no one would have known. Well, if I was my age then, I could have just said that to people. And they just would have gone, okay, the CFO of IBM, because fuck it.
May I take your hat, sir?
Exactly. I mean, I'm 30 and I look like I'm 12, but like, I think that it still could have played.
Exactly.
But yeah, so then she's like, Remy's like, yeah, we'll just say that we invented Post-its and I came up with this idea for a glue. And like, you just wish that stuff like stuck to stuff. And then Michelle's like, well, what would I do? And she's like, you came up with that they're yellow. And then that's when Michelle realizes, oh, you think I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah. And there's one that they get into it and like deeper things in their relationship that we didn't see or know really about how they perceive one another. Did you get the impression that Romy was smarter than Michelle? Like even earlier on, you're like,
100%.
Yeah. Neither is it.
It's like, it's kind of like cat dog. It's like no one here is competent, but like dog is dumber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cap was persnickety though, so that definitely always has the impression of smarter. But the line from their argument that I think you'll have an opinion on, because you watched the Mary Tyler Moore Show, didn't you?
I did not.
Oh, I thought that was one of your old sitcoms you watched with your mother.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. Say that one more time.
Perry Mason, attorney at law.
I never watched Perry Mason. I watched a lot of – I did Matlock.
You would like that. That shit bangs.
Yeah. They brought it back for, like, a dramatic show.
Yeah, that was
Yeah. But anyway, the Mary Tyler Moore Show, it was a 1970 sitcom starring Mary Tyler Moore, hence the name, right? She plays an unmarried, independent woman focused on her career, working in Minneapolis. Has a great theme song. And she has a best friend named Rhoda Morgenstern. And so that was when Romy's like, I'm the Mary, you're the Rhoda. That's what that was. And I only bring that up, and I thought you had an opinion on the show, so I've already gone too far down this rabbit hole. But really, it's just a PSA to all the listeners. Rhoda was hot. Rhoda, this means nothing to you. You need to Google on the side while I'm vamping. Mary versus Rhoda, Mary Tyler Moore show. But it's like, I don't know why the whole jokes was frequent for Rhoda. Oh, Rhoda can't get a man. Rhoda's too. Oh, she was fat for the 70s, air quotes, which just means she like existed. But yeah, Rhoda was hot. Romy is hotter than Michelle. Neither here nor
is
there.
Is Rhoda the brunette?
Yes. Well, they're both brunettes, but the more brunette. The one who isn't a wasp. Okay.
Yeah. She kind of looks like Steve Buscemi.
No, she does. No, that's Mary Tyler Moore who looks. I regret saying that, but Mary Tyler Moore is the one who looks like Steve Buscemi. Wait, Steve Buscemi? I'm thinking of the guy who sings whose father's Liv Tyler.
Valerie Harper, Rhoda of Mary Tyler Moore, looks like Steve Buscemi.
No, you're saying because the eyes.
I think the whole Steve Buscemi face.
That's insulting.
Well, I think that Steve Buscemi is a handsome man and even more handsome woman.
Fuck you.
So anyway, they spend the next third of the, almost not a third of the runtime, but like a quarter of the runtime, you know, in a joke that it hits for me. And I think for most people, it doesn't, which is a fever dream. Michelle falls asleep in this fucking car and then proceeds to just fantasize about what the high school reunion will look like, but they don't make that obvious at all, and you have to really be paying attention throughout most of it until the very end to realize what the fuck's happening, because you're like, oh, the movie sucks now, it's weird, and it's like, what the fuck are they doing? Because it's like they show up and it's this big resort, and then like all the stuff on the wall is like the magnets that she was wearing on her back, but like again, you'd have to be looking at the background decorations to pick it up. And then like the nerd kid got facial reconstructive surgery to kind of look like Billy but also look like Frankenstein, and like the Billy dude is like, you know, really respectful and like, you know, nice to Romy all of a sudden, and like everyone believes that they both simultaneously invented Post-its, and Michelle's smart and knows the formulas to glue. I don't know, they live in this for like 15 uninterrupted minutes, and like they don't really let the audience in. And even if you are in on it, the fact that it's a literal fever dream, it just isn't a good use of time. Like, this is a 90-minute runtime, and you could have cut this entire thing out, and it wouldn't have, the movie would suffer zero for it. This could be an hour-long film.
I keep seeing people break down and compare, or not keep seeing, I saw one person say it. They compared Romy and Michelle's high school reunion to Mulholland Drive, just because it's like, yeah, and both of them, there's an extended dream sequence, and the film centers around two women that probably would be together if it was like a more modern film. Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah. But that's not what actually happens. That was an extended dream sequence. And now we're actually doing the prom. And after the fight, they decide to go their separate ways. And it's like, Michelle hears Romy claiming that Romy invented Post-its by herself. And so Michelle convinces the A group she invented a special kind of glue. Yeah, you already said all that. But fine. How does the actual, in fact, you remind me, how does the actual...
Yeah, so the actual thing is they're just at like a Holiday Inn. Like, it's like a bullshit hotel. It's not some nice resort. Mm-hmm. And then the bitchy chick is pregnant. Her two like bitchy friends are both pregnant. She didn't pursue her dream of being like a news anchor. Instead, she's just a stay-at-home mom with three kids who got knocked up by the football player in high school. Mm-hmm. And like, is like, I just have such a fulfilling life now that like, you know, I don't know, some shitty name. It'll be like a Lee, like Anna Lee, Mary Lee. I don't know what trash name they're going to name this kid, but it'll sound like it came from a trailer park. And then she's like, I'm a big businesswoman. I invented Post-its. And they all kind of cackle like, there's no fucking way you invented Post-its. And then the nerd kid, the dude that's obsessed with Michelle, is like, actually did invent like a synthetic rubber that is used in like all shoes and the soles of shoes in North America. And so like he has like, fuck you money.
Yeah.
That's like going to be coming later in some helicopter. And then we don't see Billy for quite some time. And then Heather invented the cigarettes, which we already established, but also is the one that like blows Romy's cover. Because she's like, the bitchy girls are like, oh, wow, another inventor. Like, he invented rubber, you invented cigarettes, and, you know, Romy invented Post-its. And of course, like, Heather's smart as fuck and like actually did something and like, clearly invented this thing. And she's like, she didn't. And she's like, yes, I did. And she's like, no, it was like Mark whatever the fuck at 3M. Like, we went to business school together. And everyone's just like, oh shit, like that's 10 times more embarrassing. Like, like work at fucking Arby's and own it. Don't lie to me.
Oh yeah. It's the lie. I mean, that's the danger of lying. You know, this is a gamble that they ran. And we already knew these two girlies weren't that smart, so the fact that it all blows up in their face is kind of par for the course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what happens next?
So then we get more Heather, and Heather is just such a fucking treat. The two chicks are, like, devastated and, like, you know, hurt by the whole fucking thing. They, like, shout out, like, the achievement. They, like, go on stage, and the bitchy chick is, like, announcing, mm-hmm. like, who's done what on stage. And it's, like, and, like, Romy claims to have invented Post-its, and everyone laughs. Like, you dumb fucking asshole. Then the Heather chick meets up with the cowboy, who, because she needs to go smoke after, like, saying some shitty things to people. And the cowboy, like, actually hands her a lighter and is like, hey, sorry, I was a total piece of shit to you in high school. Like, I had a really bad stutter and I hated myself and I just did not have a good time. And she's like, if you try to, like, fuck with me or if this is a prank or something, like, I will cut off every limb from your body, starting with your dick. And he's, like, both scared and turned on, which, again, I cannot put into words. This woman is a 15 out of 10. And then, I mean, really, the thing this whole thing is building up to is the single greatest and worst dance sequence in human history. So, Rich Boy, whatever the fuss, what was it? Sandy Frank shows up. He's dressed like a fucking jackass. And he, like, goes to Michelle and is like, hi, Michelle, I have a house in the Hamptons, a house in Malibu, a house in fucking the south of France, and 15 other things, and a staff of 28, but I don't have you. And then he's like, can I dance with you? She's like, only if Romy can too, which is, like, so weird. Like, that's such a weird, like, immediately no. Immediately no.
I don't know how. What, do we just hold hands in a triangle and spin slowly? Well, time after time plays yet again?
Right. They do. I will say the soundtrack of this movie is both great but very limited, and they play time after time, like, for 30 consecutive minutes.
Yeah, I love Time After Time, but still.
It's a great song, but at the end of it, you're like, fuck, man, Time After Time, I've heard this fucking song.
Yeah, so they do their interpretive dance three-way, and then they get big applause, and everyone loves it for some reason.
The reality in parts is more of a fever dream than the fever dream.
Yeah. Neither. Both had such a suspension disbelief that it never really stops. No. But so then Sandy's like, all right, we kind of just won this prom. So let's mic drop out. And then at helicopter, not wrong. He was a nerd in high school. He's like, yo, I just killed it. Let's go before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Done.
Cash out. So while it's weird to leave right then, it also makes perfect sense to leave right then.
Yeah. He's like, he did not peak in high school. He's just out here getting cuter.
Yeah, you know, the second the thing closed, he's like, whoo. He relaxes, takes the face off. He's actually not rich. He knows how to fly, but, like, yeah, he's the helicopter pilot. It's like, all right, we made off, ladies. It's fucking Mission Impossible 4.
Done.
Yeah.
Oh, the one thing we don't cover, because she gets her revenge, is, like, in prom, she asks Billy to dance. Oh, Billy leaves her and, like, just lets her sit there for the rest of the night. So what she does, Billy comes out of the bushes after throwing up because he's an alcoholic with a beer gut, and is like, hey, you want to go get a hotel room? And she's like, aren't you married to what's her fuck and, like, have three kids? And he's like, yeah, that's just her though. Like, do you want to go fuck in a hotel room? And she's like, you know what, go get that room, get naked, and I'll be up in 5 minutes. And then the helicopter.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah, so that was good comeuppance. And then 6 months later, back in LA, Romy and Michelle used loaned money from Sandy to open a successful fashion boutique.
Yeah, which was successful is probably because it has funding, so it doesn't need to make money. It can hemorrhage money forever, and it'll still be in business. Yeah.
It could also just be that, like, yes, Romy and Michelle have bad fashion, but they might not be alone in how their fashion is bad. You know, so that could be. Oh, so you like, oh, so in that case, it could make sense that they make money.
Yeah, I think it bangs.
Yeah, either you think their stuff is good, and that's why it's good, or it's not good, but they're not alone in it, and so at least other people with bad taste want to shop there. So one way or another. And but if that's the way things work, wouldn't every fashion store work? I'm missing something. Quality.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you have to be like, you either go one of two ways. You either go super high-end, where you look like a jackass, but it's expensive enough that you think that you're doing something, or you go super low-end, where it's just cheap and you need clothes. But if you're in that shitty middle, like, it's very competitive in, like, the Lululemon price range, where it's like, it better be comfy and stylish and 15 other things. But I can easily see, but people do it. Like, you'll pay $1,200 for a Balenciaga dad sneaker just to flex on other people that you're wearing a New Balance that costs you $1,200.
Let me clarify. I won't.
And you might.
You might.
I could see myself doing something ignorant like that.
Yeah, if that's the entirety of the sentence, I agree.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Romy and Michelle's high school reunion ends, and the credits roll, and I'm so glad we're done. I frankly didn't watch the back half of the movie. I was like...
Oh, fuck you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not come prepared enough?
I mean, I always finish the movies.
Do you?
Hmm? Oh. I mean, there's been times when I haven't finished the rewatch of the film, but I had seen it the first time around.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't know. You set the bar so low. Hey, Boca. Yes. Who did you like in this movie?
Physically attracted to Romy. The voice is a big knock. I also love Janine Garofalo. I enjoyed her a lot in The West Wing, the later seasons.
Wait, Mary, fuck, kill. Michelle, Romy, Heather.
Respectfully, we have to kill Michelle.
Fuck.
And then we're talking about their characters.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to marry Heather and fuck Romy. Romy's voice I hate so much. I don't understand.
Oh, I kind of like it. It's weird, though. It is weird. It's an acquired taste.
It's not just, I'm not just like, oh, they have to have like light voice. Like Emma Stone, yeah, great. But no, she's like, she's doing like this. It's like almost on purpose. Like you're doing a skit.
She does talk like Chad.
Yeah.
What's like, up? What? I'm Romy.
Yeah, and you're watching Disney Channel. Dude,
but they somehow turn it into the
Mickey Mouse. Yeah, yeah. So her voice, and that's why I was like, I need to watch her do an interview or something. I hope she doesn't have to go through life talking like that.
I still think it's pretty deep. She's just trying to put a little zhuzh on it. Okay. So I loved, just Heather and the cowboy guy. I thought that little side plot just was so fucking. I die laughing. Also, the fat nerdy chick who Heather always tells to go fuck herself.
She did nothing wrong.
She did nothing wrong, but just the fact that someone that's so sweet that has done nothing wrong and gets brutally told to go fuck themselves makes me cry laughing.
It is kind of funny. I can't moral grandstand on you. That can make me laugh.
Thank God.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do I ask you? Yeah. Do they end up together? But that's why this isn't a fucking rom-com, Garrett. There's no couple at the end of this.
Yes. Wait,
together? Are they together?
Yes. You don't fund a business without getting a little.
Oh, but that should not be conditional.
Well, I'm just saying in this instance, it's implied. Oh, Sandy's slinging.
No, as in, was it implied that Sandy Harvey Weinstein did this fashion
thing? No. God, no, I'm not making it rapey. I'm just saying, like, when they kiss in front of the helicopter, she's like, oh, I'm glad you didn't bring your binder. Because, like, she can feel his dick.
Oh.
Like, yeah. They fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oof.
Yeah. They laughed because she's like an idiot. He's rich. He's just happy that someone will touch it.
Not just happy somebody touched it. That is full wish fulfillment, you know?
He's a
nerd in high school. He's that meme, you know? He's the nerd in high school who nobody wanted. Then he got rich, and then the girl who he had a crush on wants to fuck him.
Dude, can you
he could have died right after that.
You have to climb. Look at the hill you have to fucking climb if you were a dork dude in high school. You need to become a multi-cajillionaire. Build an empire, have a successful multi-billion-dollar corporation to become fuckable to a girl that's unemployed from your high school that you just think is hot 10 years later.
Well, both men's rights. But there's the question of we know she wouldn't fuck him at point A, high school version of Sandy Frank. We do know she'll fuck him at point B when his value is obviously higher at post-grad Frank, right? The question is, well, she didn't see him before then. So where in this ladder would she have then have been willing to fuck him? It's not necessarily all the way at point B. See what I'm saying?
Fine.
Yeah.
She bought high.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but she wasn't seeking the man out when it's her prerogative. She wasn't into him, saw him, wanted him. Now, and plus,
so he wasn't fuckable in high school. He was unfuckable.
He shouldn't hold it against her that she didn't want to fuck him in high school. You know?
He doesn't. I did.
Yeah, he does.
But anyway.
Yeah, but that was interesting.
1 to 10. What do we give this movie?
You go first.
I'm gonna upset you with my ranking. So this is like,
stop. Is this what you actually think, or do you want to just upset me? Because I've had a bad week.
I know. So this is what I think, genuinely in my soul. This to me is 100% like female Bill and Ted, or like Step Brothers, or like Dumb and Dumber.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving it, I'm fucking with it. I'm giving it like an 8.5. Like it lives in the 8s for
me. That's that centrist liberal bullshit where it's like, you're wondering, Jesus Christ.
I can't wait for this one.
How did he get here, right?
Because I'm like, oh, yeah, women made a funny movie. And you're like, they can't make funny movies and have them be good. Only dudes can be in good male.
We have to be careful. I took an edible. I can't just start laughing for 15 minutes.
Yes, you can.
Let me focus. Why I said that is because on one hand, we want to advocate for groups that never get to make shit, the opportunity to make mediocre shit. However, that does not mean, like, for example, every black movie needs to be Moonlight. Otherwise, like, see, black people shouldn't be allowed to make movies. Every movie centered on, like, a Latino cast needs to be fucking Roma. Otherwise, like, all right, you're not going to get another one for 15 years. Pacha. You know, literally Asians had to wait from, like, Joy Luck Club, In the Mood for Love, and Mulan until 12 years later you get Crazy Rich Asians.
True.
Yeah.
The other one was like IP Man.
Exactly. Is it IP Man or Ip Man?
Oh, it might be Ip Man. I don't know. I read it as IP Man, man. I think I might have fucked that up. I'm not going to lie. It'd be like if someone watched the movie Up and they're like, have you seen UP? I was like, that's weird. His name's IP Man this whole fucking time. I've seen him too. This is not getting in place of ignorance from not having seen the movie. I fucking saw it and I still don't know. But if I'm right and you're wrong, though, it'd be funny. But I have a feeling.
I know. So I might be wrong because I know of it. I haven't seen the movie. So I always thought, like, isn't it? Yep. Anyway, so all that is to say, it would be like, yeah, Romy and Michelle's high school reunion is revolutionary because it's mediocre. It's like when you see those comics, and this is the jump that I took is frankly way too far. It's like when people in, like, Northern African, Middle Eastern countries, like, boy, I sure hope the next drone pilot is a woman. Like, oh, is this progress? Right. Yeah, that's where my brain took it, which is it's a thing on the internet where, like, three levels down into an argument, and somebody's already being compared to Hitler.
Yep.
But I refuse to review Romy and Michelle's high school reunion as wonderful because it is not good.
Okay, then what is that ranking?
Right. So I only watched half of it, right? So I can't go below a 5 out of benefit of the doubt. And plus, the back half might be more interesting with the deep dream sequence thing. But what I did see, I hate.
Oh, you didn't even see that shit? Oh, you got to. After this, please finish it and give me your thoughts.
Yeah. No, I stole my Amazon rental. It wasn't streaming somewhere, was it?
No, they said Hulu, but it wasn't. Anyway, you still have your edible, and I would love to have you finish this fucking thing.
Yes.
Length and half you saw.
Yeah, so right. If I have to give it at least 5, since I only saw a half, and then I hated the first half, I'm giving it a 6.5 overall.
Honestly, that's more generous than I thought you were going to give it.
Without
the eights, so Boca still hates women, but like it.
This is the point of this whole project, okay? Where I was like, you know what? You don't consume enough content that is about women, for women, starring women. Very few women get to write these things, except Nora Ephron. So we've done 7.5 seasons of the show. So I clearly enjoy many songs and movies developed, created, or orchestrated by women. This movie's mediocre.
Wow.
It's camp, so people pretend to like it.
People love camping. Not me, but someone.
Oh, well, you know camp isn't about camping, right?
I know, but it's funnier if I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I like to fuck with my own brand so that people don't know if I am Michelle or if I'm just pretending to be stupid.
Oh, jeez. Okay, that was that episode. That was this episode. Did you just spill water on yourself after comparing yourself to Michelle?
I might be Michelle.
Oh, Garrett. Oh. All right, go
win your himbo, but someone has to do it.
Go win your beer Olympics, Garrett.
Okay, I'm gonna go dress up in 80s attire and go chug beer.
Thanks, everybody.